Omaha Steaks makes it easy to keep great food on hand, so dinner time is simple and convenient. And right now, you can get 12 free burgers and free shipping for life when you shop at omahasteaks.com/onrepeat. At Omaha Steaks, you're in control. Order once or set up recurring shipments for more savings, more convenience, and inflation-proof pricing. Visit omahasteaks.com/onrepeat to get started today and get 12 free burgers and free shipping for life. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. Today we want to do a first for our Bible on Business series, and I sent out an email yesterday because I wanted to do some Bible on Business questions. We started this series back in June of last year, and we've explored what the Bible has to say about so many different things as it relates to business. This year so far, we've covered different aspects of leadership, and I thought it would be appropriate, let's ask specifically about what the audience wants to know as it relates to the Bible on business. So not only am I going to answer the question, but I also want us to explore what the word has to say about the question as well, so that you guys could get used to having this question and then knowing where to look in the Bible. So the first question I loved because I have a lot of personal experience in business with this, but the question says, what are some red flags to look out for when it comes to partnering with someone? Let me start by saying this. If you are looking for a business partner or an opportunity has presented itself to potentially partner with someone, this needs to be a very prayerful decision, because I can't generalize the answer to this too much, because then it will kind of take away the nuanced way in which the Lord works. And also, it could devalue, if I'm being too general, it could devalue the greater mission that the Lord may have in mind for a particular partnership. So I say, make sure that the decision that you make first is a prayerful decision, because then you will be able to get insight from the Lord on what He has in mind for this particular partnership. So I want to make sure I preface it with that. Because I could say, hey, this is a red flag, that is a red flag, but the Lord may have a bigger strategy that I just don't have insight to that He can give you about your specific situation. So I wanted to start there. Now, a huge red flag that we even see in the Bible with so many partnerships that has gone wrong is misaligned values. You can't be someone who is focused on making God the CEO, living your life for the Lord, building a business that's dedicated to the Lord above all, and willing to leave money on the table, opportunities on the table, etc., that don't align with God's plan. You can't be somebody who is operating from that space and then be in partnership with someone who is only focused on the bottom line, who's only focused on taking advantage of every opportunity, who's focused on being seen and being in the forefront and being famous and going viral, etc. Those misaligned values will never yield a fruitful business partnership. They just won't. And this is why you have to be discerning, because most people won't flat out say, hey, I only care about the likes, or I only care about making money, especially people who do identify as Christian. A lot of times they won't be bold enough to say that, but you have to be discerning, because you'll be able to tell what their values are, even if they're trying to convince you that their values are something different. So when you are considering partnering with somebody, always look at their track record, look at their behaviors, look at what they've done up until this point, because that will give you insight to what their values are, not just what they say. Don't just take their word for it. Pay attention to what their behaviors communicate, and also be very prayerful so that the Lord will reveal things to you about their values as well, because we know God looks at the heart. He's all knowing. So he'll give you that insight on someone that you're considering partnering with. I also think there's an element of nuance here, which is why, again, number one is pray about it, because sometimes it may not be a full misalignment of values, but it may just be one party is more spiritually mature than others. Before I got saved, as I call it, those who are new here, it's just a line that or a marker that I give in my journey of, hey, I got saved and gave my life to Christ when I was in high school. I truly started living my life for Christ and dedicated myself to him later. And that true dedication time is that saved marker that I refer to. So before I got saved, I was still a Christian doing business in a way that I thought was pleasing to the Lord. But when I truly gave my life to him and dedicated myself to him in a new way, in a full surrendered way, and left my old life behind, that produced a level of connection and intimacy with the Lord, a level of growth spiritually that allows me to do things a lot differently now. My values in this season are not different from my values in previous seasons, but through transformation of Christ and commitment to the Lord and dedication to him came a level of wisdom and spiritual maturity that he gave me that allows me to do business in a different way now. Now, again, that doesn't mean that my values are different. The spiritual maturity is what's different. And that can also come about into individuals looking to partner together. So does that mean that I wouldn't partner with someone who was in a place that I was before I got saved? Not necessarily. I would still partner with someone who is in that space. The details of our partnership, though, will give me an element of control to where I have the final say. So that way, if the other party may not fully understand what the Lord is calling from the business or what assignment he may be giving in the business, it's okay. I can help them work through that. But the decision is going to be in alignment with what God said. And I'm going to make sure my paperwork gives me the right to make those final decisions. And I will also say in this situation, because this is similar to what we discussed with in the partnership episode last year when we discussed Abram and Lot's relationship, how Abram was very much so a mentor, an uncle figure to Lot. And so there was this dynamic of one having a bit more wisdom than the other in that type of partnership. And it was a very fruitful partnership until it needed to end. So I make that point because when we talk about misaligned values, we must also interpret misaligned values correctly, because it may not be your values are misaligned. It may simply just be there is a difference in spiritual maturity. And if the Lord is okay with you partnering, make sure that you have your stuff in place to where you have a level of control in that. And also that the two of you have a relationship to where the other party trusts your decision making and what the Lord is calling you to do. So a great example for this in my business partnerships, I run my business Anchor Media Studios with my aunt. And we are both Christians. We both want to please the Lord. We are in different places spiritually, but we have an element of trust and love between each other to where she trusts if I'm saying, hey, I was praying about that and the Lord said that that's not what we need to do, or I don't feel comfortable with that. She trusts me as a person, me as the CEO, me as her partner, as her niece. And she also trusts my relationship with the Lord because she's seen me grow from literally a child until now. But she's seen me grow even in business and entrepreneurship and how trusting the Lord and follow his guidance have gotten us to this point today. So we have that trust and camaraderie between the two of us to where even if she doesn't fully understand or necessarily agree, she will be like, okay, let's just do it and see what happens then. And through our partnership, because it's been about 3 years now that we've been partnered in this business, I've seen even her language change. It was funny because she messaged me recently and was like, look at here's another way the Lord has come through for this business. And she was telling me about something that happened. And as the Lord even comes through with the things that he shows me, I talked to her about it. And I can see how her faith is being grown and how her wisdom and spiritual maturity is growing as a result of seeing how God works in this partnership and in this business. And so it is a very fruitful relationship. Her gifts and skills are being used. If you ever go to anchormediastudios.com, every visual you see of our space, she did that. She is just amazing at the design and is so organized, and she has so many great skills that benefit the business. And then I can stay in my lane. She stay in her lane. We do things together. It's a great partnership. And it's also one, though, that the Lord is in control of. But me knowing from the jump that we may be in different places spiritually, I had to make sure that our paperwork and the dynamic of the relationship as it relates to the business is that I got the final say. And it has just simply worked well. There's no egos involved or anything like that. So I give that example to bring in that nuance on misaligned values, that sometimes it's just simply a gap or a difference in spiritual maturity. And you can mitigate that by making sure that your paperwork is in place to where you have control. And I want to also note that this is from the perspective of this is a idea that the Lord is giving you, and you are considering partnerships for that vision. Now, if you are considering partnership for somebody else's vision, apply the same thing, but always have a way for you to get out of that partnership. So have whatever you need in the paperwork. So let's say you have some type of character clause or something in your contract that says if at any point this business is becoming misaligned with my values, talk to a lawyer to see what you need to put in that. Talk to me in 3 years if you're still in this spot. But talk to a lawyer to make sure to see what language you could put in there. But something that basically says if at any point this partnership is misaligned with my values or go against what I believe, I'm out. And every partnership agreement has a clause or reasonings for the partnership to be dismantled and what that would look like. But just make sure that you always have a way out and that your markers of, okay, this is no longer in alignment with what the Lord is showing me and what is consistent with how I'm supposed to live and operate and do business, I'm out. Whatever that needs to be language-wise, make sure that's in the agreement so you always have a way out. So all that to say, misaligned values is a huge red flag. And we see this in scripture with partnership. We see it in the relationship. I'm going to give you some scriptures to study. Ahab and Jezebel, you can go and read that in 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 29 through 34. And then also 1 Kings chapter 21, 1 through 16. You can also study Jehoshaphat and Ahab in 2 Chronicles 18. You could study Abram and Lot, and we did that episode previously. I think it's called The Principles of Partnership, was that Bible on Business episode there. And then you can study further Lot and then the people of Sodom. And that's in Genesis 13, 10 through 13, and then 19, 1 through 29. That's a good continuation of what we studied and discussed in that Bible on Business episode. Another red flag to look out for in partnerships is people who just love the world. They just love it. One of my pet peeves in today's digital age is because the internet has become such a culture that so many have just fully taken on its identity. Like if you think of a culture encompasses a geographic group of people usually who share different values, languages, food, music, fashion, etc. It encompasses so much. I feel like the internet, which is so mind-boggling to me, has become its own culture that people now have placed their identity in. To where people, if you're having a regular conversation, they're talking in TikTok songs. Or they will, like, what they think is based upon what is trending or the most popular in the online space. What they do is determined based upon what message is being pushed at any given time. I remember I was talking to somebody recently, and online there was this economic blackout. I've been offline for months, so I don't know nothing that be going on unless I'm on YouTube, something pops up or whatever. But I haven't been consuming content since like November. So I get on, or I'm talking to somebody, and they were like, oh, what you about to do? I was like, yeah, I'm about to go get something to eat. I'm about to get my nails done. I had like a couple errands to run after leaving them. And they were like, oh, we're not spending no money today. I said, who is we? We're not spending no money today. It's an economic blackout. I said, who said that? And so they were like, oh, it's been going on online. And I was like, well, what is this for? I'm asking all of these questions because I genuinely had no clue that this was going on. And they couldn't even give me a for real organized thought or straight answer as to what the economic blackout is, what it's for, what is the goal, who is organizing this. Like I had legit questions because I didn't know. And I'm also not about to just do anything just because somebody tells me to. But they couldn't answer. It was just like, oh, that's what they, and this ambiguous they, which refers to the internet, is saying. And I'm like, okay, so you're telling me that I can't go do whatever or I need to adhere to what they, quote unquote, say, but you can't even explain to me who they is, what this goal is, and what's going on. So later I did my research and realized what was happening and just, you know, all the amazing things that organizations are putting together in order to combat a lot of the new administration's orders and et cetera. So I educated myself later, but in this moment, I was so mad because I'm like, what are you even saying to me? You're just coming up to me telling me I don't need to do something because of the internet.
This episode is brought to you by IXL Learning. Parents, now y'all know this homework that we help these kids with is not the homework that we did when we were growing up. Do you feel like your child is asking questions on their homework and you don't quite have the answers? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. I love how IXL makes learning fun and adapts to the level of your specific child. Funny enough, I learned that this upcoming fall, my son's school actually uses IXL, and I'm so excited to become an official IXL parent. This program will improve your kids' grades, it will work for any of your kids, and you save time. One subscription gets you everything. One site for all the kids in your home from pre-K to 12th grade. You save money, so if your child is struggling, this is the smartest investment that you can make. A single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. Ladies, can we talk for a second? Do you ever feel yourself being overwhelmed by hormonal changes? You know, there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors that are living rent-free in our environment right now. I mean, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, everything, they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the normal hormonal changes that our body goes through. Perimenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean that we have to suffer through it. Because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code BLESSED at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BLESSED for 15% off today.
And it drives me crazy because this is how so many people are, where they love the world so much that whatever's popular, whatever's trending, they just give right into it because it's popular at that time. And as believers, that's not how we are supposed to operate. And so if you are considering doing business with somebody, you have to make sure that they're not someone who's so in love with the world that they'll compromise their values for it, that they'll compromise your business for it, that they'll make decisions that are not in alignment with the Lord based upon what's popular. Or they're so afraid of going against the grain that they disobey the Lord. That is a recipe for disaster. It's divided loyalty. And at some point, they're going to give in to the temptation to do things the world's way. And you don't want to be in partnership with that. Somewhere that I want you to go in scripture for this is 2 Timothy 4 and 10. Now, this was Paul's final letter to Timothy, or this is the end of his second letter to Timothy, which is his final epistle before he was martyred. This letter was very personal because Paul was reflecting on his suffering, loneliness, and faithfulness to the gospel. At this time, he's imprisoned in Rome and he anticipates his death. And Paul mentions several people who have either remained faithful or abandoned him, with Demas, the one that he names in verse 10, standing out as one who deserted him for worldly reasons. So go ahead and read 2 Timothy verse 4, chapter 10. To see what he has to say about him, because he was someone who loved the world and ended up abandoning Paul. So this is a great example of a partnership with somebody who loved the world. Two more quick red flags. Someone who has not bought into the vision of what it is that you're doing. I have experienced what it's like to be partnered with people who are committed to the Lord's assignment in this particular area. And what comes to mind is the society. I started the society in 2018 because at that time I couldn't find a place that merged faith and business in a community setting. I would find faith communities, I would find business communities, but I wanted both because separately I felt like something was missing in each space. And as an entrepreneur, we create what we can't find. And that's how the society was created. And over the years, we've grown, we've added hosts, et cetera. My first partner that I brought on was Kavaya. And she and I met because she wanted to work with me as her business coach. That didn't work out. I think it was like more so just budget stuff. That didn't work out. But the Lord had me to ask her to come with me on the God is My CEO tour we did for the podcast. Me and Kavaya didn't know each other from a can of paint, but I was obedient. And she did the tour with me. And over the course of us traveling together and going to these different cities and communicating based on what we were doing with the tour, we built a great bond and a great relationship. And so once the tour was over, the Lord then showed me to have her then come on and do the society. And we talked about it. She was on board with it. And she's been on board ever since. I think that was like a year in, around like 2019 or so. And so we were doing it together and it was fantastic. Later down the line, we added two more hosts. We added Rosalind and Sharla. Both of them had individual communities already. And in talking to them, and I had relationships with everybody individually. Sharla was a client of mine who became a really great friend, more like a sister at this point. Rosalind was a client of mine who I became good friends with as well. And they each had these individual communities. And I was like, why don't we just all work together? Because all of these pockets of baby communities, let's just bring them together and have one big community where we're serving the Lord's people together and, you know, dividing up the work, et cetera, so that in bringing all of our individual gifts and skills to the table. And so we created this, like we started nicknaming it the Super Society with all of us. And so what I've learned over the years of partnerships through this particular space is people, what happens when people truly have bought into the vision? Because we've gone through seasons in the society where it was extremely lucrative, tons of members making a lot of money, to where things start to dip. Where more communities become a lot more popular online now, people start spreading out, people start leaving, coming back, et cetera, but they continue to stay with it. We have all gone through things in our personal life where we just didn't have much to give, but we continue to maintain our integrity. We continue to be accountable to each other. So if somebody needs to take a step back and somebody needs to take a step up, we do that. If somebody is in a place where like, hey, I got to deal with this stuff internally so that I don't damage the Lord's people, then we cover, we pray for who needs to do that. And we allow space for that. But by having this partnership where everybody's bought into the vision and the assignment for these women that the Lord has entrusted us with, so many beautiful things happen in the community and amongst each other. And that's so important when it comes to having partnerships. Even one of the hosts, Roslyn, at one point she had told us like, hey, I'm not at a place where I can continue to lead here. And I respect, Tatum, what the Lord has given you with this group. I respect all of you. And I most importantly respect the Lord and the women here. So I have to take a step back. And she took a step back. There were even times we were still under contract. She was like, don't even pay me for the last 3 months because I ain't been really showing up like that as I should. So don't pay me for this time. And I'm going to go ahead and take a step back. And I respected that so much. And I was like, absolutely, no problem. But there's this level, again, of respect, of camaraderie, of accountability, of love and support that happens in partnership when everybody has bought into the vision. If you're partnering with somebody who hasn't bought into the vision, you deal with so much negativity. You deal with people not being fully committed. You deal with their commitment being contingent upon the outcome. Because like I said, with the society, we've gone through ebbs and flows where we've made decisions. More recently, we made a decision to switch platforms because we felt like this will allow us to serve God's people better, but it came at the expense of losing members. Anytime you make a big change like that, where you got hundreds of people on one platform and you migrate them over to somewhere else, you're going to run the risk of losing people. And that's exactly what happened. We had another instance where there was something on the back end of the new platform that wasn't done properly, maybe I can't even remember what happened, but that cost us money and members. And not from a lack of responsibility standpoint, it was just more of a logistics thing. And so we when things like that happen, if someone isn't bought into the vision, they just throw their hands up, they quit, they run away from it. But again, when people have bought into what the Lord is doing, you get a level of commitment that I believe that you just simply cannot get from folks who have not bought in. You need that. You need that. And the last red flag is simply individuals or an individual who doesn't have the skills necessary to push the vision forward. Your partnership should be about partnering spiritually, also partnering your gifts, your talents, your skills, your resources to be able to grow something in a way in which you are not able to do as individuals. If you're partnered with somebody that's bringing to the table resources that you already have, what is the purpose? Right? Like, it doesn't make any sense. They might as well volunteer, but you don't need to partner with them. partner with individuals where they have something that you lack, you have something that they lack, and you could put those things together to be able to push the vision forward. They need to have skills, talents, gifts, resources, relationships, etc., that are going to push the business forward. Y'all being cool is not enough. Dividing up the work, honestly, is not enough, because you can contract that out. If somebody is going to be on a partnership level, then you have to be, your merger together has to significantly improve whatever it is that you're doing. All right. That was only question number one. Look, y'all know I like to be thorough when answering these questions. I don't like to just give you something cliche. I want to be as detailed as possible so that I could be useful and helpful and not just running my mouth. But the next question says, "Hi Tatum, thank you for soliciting questions around this topic. I have a few businesses and applying God's word to how I operate in them has been a journey. Here is my question. What do I do when I cannot find scripture that speaks directly to an issue or decision I have to make? And am also struggling with overwhelm, so I'm having a hard time hearing his voice." Let me answer the first part first. What do I do when I cannot find scripture that speaks directly to an issue or decision I have to make? You can always find scripture that speaks directly to an issue or a decision that you have to make. It may not be within the same modern context, but the root of the decision and the issue can be found in the Bible. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, by you going to your word, he'll then begin to reveal the specifics that are applicable to your unique situation. Now, there are a few ways that you can find this in the word. I'm a big fan of having a study Bible. I'll put the link in the show notes to the one I've been recommending since the beginning of this show, the Life Application Study Bible. Something that I do when I'm looking to find scripture on a specific situation is I go to the back, the index, whether it be the index, whether it be the concordance with all the definitions, whether it be any of the resources in the back that let you search for specific words. Go to those. So if you're dealing with fear or doubt, if you're dealing with relationships, unforgiveness, whatever the root of what you're dealing with is, or just think of some words that are relevant to your issue, go to the back of your Bible, find that word, and then it'll define it for you if you're in the concordance. And if you're in the index, it'll tell you different places to go within scripture that deal with that particular subject. So that's what you need to do to find it. And then once you have the scriptures that are relevant to what you're going through, pray, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal and highlight things that are relevant and specific to you, and go and study those scriptures. Don't just read it, but study it. Understand the context. What book is it in? What's that book about? Who are the main characters here? What is the who, what, when, why, how? Get a deeper understanding to that. How does that correlate with other aspects of scripture? If you're in the Old Testament, how does that correlate to the New Testament? If you're in the New Testament, how was this spoken of or prophesied about in the Old Testament? Who is this individual that's in the middle of this story? What's their background? Go back to the back of your Bible again, find the person's name. And in my particular Bible, it gives a profile for most people. So go to their profile, study them. You can go to resources on YouTube if you're more of a visual learner, like what's it called? Bible Project is one of my favorites that gives great overviews of text. So if you're in a specific book of the Bible, go to Bible Project on YouTube, find that book of the Bible, let it explain it to you so you have that context. I also like to use BibleStudyTools.com, BibleHub.com. But my favorite, again, this process is, okay, this is what I'm dealing with. Let me go to the back of my Bible and find the word and then go into the scriptures that is referencing for me and study that. That is my number one advice on how to do that. A more modern way and a faster way is to use things like a ChatGPT. And I use this often if I can't remember a certain scripture, like what was that scripture in the Bible that talked about blah, blah, blah. And ChatGPT usually will populate it for me. It's also helpful, ChatGPT is also helpful because you could just ask it, what does the Bible have to say about XYZ? And it will bring up a list of scriptures. Now, my preference is for you to go to a study Bible, because AI is still technology. ChatGPT does get things wrong. It's helpful in that the Bible is a historical text. So because it is a historical text, it's helpful to identify certain scriptures, but I will not suggest that you rely on it. That's why I gave you my favorite way to do this first, in which is go in your book, your physical Bible, and go and find these scriptures. But even if you do use a ChatGPT and it populates different scriptures, go back to your physical Bible and read it. And read it in context and study it and allow the Lord to reveal what needs to be revealed. So that's the answer to your first question. Second, you said you're struggling with overwhelm and you're having a hard time hearing his voice. My advice to you in this is to pause. Take a beat. You're not hearing his voice, or you're struggling to hear his voice, because you are out of pace. Keeping in step with the Spirit, as it says in Galatians, is a huge part of living a Spirit-led life. We can't run ahead of God. The enemy loves to invite us to busyness in an effort to get to pull us out of alignment and step and cadence with the Holy Spirit. It works every single time. I've seen this even in my own life. When things start to get busy, if I do not take a step back and make sure that I am intentionally mitigating my busyness with stillness. And stillness doesn't mean just sitting down twiddling your thumbs, but mentally being still, emotionally being still, carving out my time with the Lord. If I don't take the time to do that and prioritize that when my schedule gets busy, overwhelm is right there. It's coming right after that. So, and it's easy because of life being just life and things happening and responsibilities and all of that, is easy to just kind of get sucked into the pace of life. But that's not how we live. We live by keeping in step with the pace of grace, by keeping in step with the Spirit. And we have to have enough self-control and enough self-regulation, is a better word, to be able to live in that cadence consistently, and also to recognize when we've gotten off so that we could take a step back. So for you, you have two major issues going on here. You're struggling with where to go in the Word to address your problems, and you have so much overwhelm that you're struggling with hearing the voice of God. This is a recipe to stop, to pause, to take a minute, to take a step back, to get reestablished with Him. Because if you continue this way, there will be a lot of suffering unnecessarily that happens, and not just in business. And I don't want you to get so far off that you have to go back and fix things. I've been in that position where I've put myself through unnecessary suffering because I've allowed my responsibilities to determine my pace, as opposed to keeping in step with the Spirit. I've made those mistakes. So I'm telling you that from experience. So what I want you to do is to take a beat, cancel some stuff, pause some stuff, fast. And this is the fast is just to rededicate yourself to the Lord. That's it. It's not to try to manipulate or force his hand into anything, but go on a fast so that you can then just submit yourself to him and spend that close time to reestablish that connection, that pace, and study what you need to study in the Word and welcome the wisdom that he has for you in that space. So the next question is another two-part. The first part says, "Hey Tatum, longtime listener here. Here's my question. In a world where going viral for drama, material possessions, and other worldly things, how do we as Christian creators build a content plan that gains attention, clients, and customers without having to join the masses and their trends?" This is a great question. The first thing that you should do as a Christian creator is to create from a place of connection to the Holy Spirit, because he supersedes any trends. He also isn't bound by time. He knows what's going to be popular 20 years from now. He knows what's going to fade away next week. He is all knowing. And so he has a strategic insight that we will never be able to find anywhere else. So the first thing I would do is to start off your creation by connection with the creator. And that can be done through quiet time or doing things like a business meeting with God that I've taught about before, or through just eliminating a lot of the noise of the online world and just connecting with him. Do that through one of the ways that I like to tap into my creative side, because I lean to be more on the strategy side, and then I can lean into the creative that fits the strategy. So I usually start just naturally with a strategy side. So whenever I'm trying to go from that side of my brain to the more creative side, something I like to do is put myself in the middle of the Lord's creativity. And this could look like going out for a walk, just looking at the grass, listening to the trees, sitting outside. You know, if you have somewhere that's like a botanical garden or something like that, you could just sit there and look at all the different flowers and things that the Lord has created. You go for a walk and just look at the sky, the trees, the animals, the bugs, like all of these different creations, just paying attention to it. If you're out and about, just watch people and see the differences in each individual person, from their skin color to their hair color, their eye color, their body features. Like there is so much creativity all around us that the Lord has done. I have kids, so something else that I do is I'll just stare at my kids. I'm looking at their eyes, their nose, their lips, their hands, their fingertips. I'm just staring at them and thinking of how they started out as literally a sperm and an egg meeting each other. And in my body, they grew. And all of these features that were predetermined based upon my DNA, my husband's DNA, that were created by the Lord, came together. Like, it just taking a beat and thinking and meditating on the creativity of the Lord, what that does is I believe it unlocks a level of appreciation for his craftsmanship. And it makes what the masses have created as trends and popular and worldly things, it makes it so minuscule. And by that happening, it also, I feel like, eliminates a lot of the internal noise that the pressure of what the world is doing can rile up on the inside of us, if that makes sense. So something else I would say, too, as it relates to the content plan that you build, is to study the trends and the data of what's happening in the online space from a statistical standpoint versus from a perception standpoint. And what I mean by that is there are so many places that have compiled data and research on consumer behavior, user behavior, that are platform specific on all the social media platforms, but also discuss the digital landscape as a whole, that gives so much data and detail about actual trends and things like that. Because sometimes I feel like from a consumer standpoint, we think that because we see something a lot, that this is a trend that works. But if you look at the data and the analytics from individuals whose jobs are to study market trends, it's not as trendy as we think, or it's not going to last as long as we think. So taking a step back from analyzing what's trending and popular from a consumer standpoint and tapping into what the market researchers have to say, that helps tremendously with building a content plan, because you're not just speculating. You're not just creating from a place of assumption, but you're creating from a place of proven data and statistics. You can also analyze data historically to be able to determine where things are going. One of the reasons why I started a podcast is because I was trying to decide where I wanted to establish or set roots of a brand online. And as I studied the data from each individual platform, I saw this podcasting concept emerging. Podcasting had been out since like the early 2010s as an extension of blogging, to where it started off as an audio blog that then developed into podcasting. So as I was studying millennial consumer data because my target audience is millennials, because as I was studying millennial consumer data, as I was studying the digital landscape, podcasting stood out to me in particular because I saw it as something that was emerging, which was great because it's an opportunity for me to get in while people are moving there. That takes a lot of the marketing work away from me. And also, I saw that this would be the perfect platform that met my individual needs. But that was a data-based decision. If I was going by what was popular, podcasts just were not popular at that time. And I got a lot of pushback because people's perception is, why are you recording something for free every single week? You're not going to get paid in your business. You're not going to get clients, people like that. People aren't going to pay you for something that they can get for free. These were a lot of the objections that I got in the early days, but I saw something different based upon data, based upon wisdom from the Lord. I wasn't even fully saved yet when I made the decision, but based upon data, I was like, no, this is going to grow into something. So a big part of you being a strategist or creating a content plan is being a strategist. And as a strategist, you have to appropriately conduct quantitative analysis to be able to see what are these numbers telling me and how can I then apply that and be creative with what the Lord has given me to be able to be successful in my growth online and my client retention, et cetera. And then also by looking at the data and not the individuals and what folks is doing, it takes away a lot of the emotional stuff. It takes away a lot of the frustrations that you may have. It takes out of the picture a lot of the things that may make this process frustrating, because now it's just about numbers, not people, not what they're doing or anything like that. It's about data. And then incorporating what the Lord is saying into that. And it just helps, in my opinion, it makes it a lot easier to execute. Okay, so the next question says, and this is a continuation of the previous one. In addition to my question above, based on generations and in the Bible, way before social media was ever thought of, Christians serve their purpose in person and through other streams. At times, I feel so trapped to impact through the media since that's our number one source of reaching people these days. Do you recommend business owners today go out and touch God's people through streams outside of online, or is online just as effective? I want to make sure I'm not leaving anything out on the table when it comes to reaching his people. So this question is a bit tough to answer because I believe, based on the verbiage here, that you're conflating two things: the role of a business owner and then the role of someone who's looking to touch God's people. We have to pick a focus here in order to get to the right answer, but I'll try to answer it both ways. Let's start with the business first. A business job is to make money, is to grow the business. That is the purpose of a business owner. It is to grow your business, is to make money, is to fulfill the objectives that you outlined in your business plan. And whether you do that online or offline depends on the business, the products and services that you offer. It depends on your target audience and how they make buying decisions. It just depends. I believe that it is advisable that most businesses have some sort of online presence. How they operate online and how much effort they put into online depends on the business and the consumer. So let's say you have a restaurant. A lot of times people decide what restaurant they're going to go to based upon recommendations. They might go on Yelp. They might go on social media to look for different restaurants. They may see pictures of food. Food can be an ambiance of a restaurant, can be a very visual thing. So it's in the best interest of a restaurant to have an online presence that showcases the ambiance and the food and the experience that they are providing to patrons that are coming to their restaurant. It is also advisable for a restaurant, because they are location specific, to have offline efforts as well and to reach the community of people who are local and more likely to frequent their restaurant on a regular basis. And I would even go on to say that their effort should be more focused on that than online. But then again, online, we have so many ways we could connect even geographically to where this restaurant can run ads that specifically target people in their geographic area. That can be particularly helpful. Their audience, let's say they have an audience that goes that skews older. These people may not be finding restaurants online, but they get a coupon in their mailbox to get a free dinner for whatever. That may be something that contributes to their buying decision on if they're going to try this new restaurant or not. So like I said, it depends on where you should focus or what combination of online and offline you should apply in order to benefit your business. But that all depends on the business. But the core goal of a business is to make money. And that decision has to be made based upon what is going to be the most lucrative and what's going to give the business owner the best return on investment. And that's a whole process in and of itself. But I believe what you're talking about is more of the ministry aspect of connecting with God's people. Based upon even your first question, I feel like you may just be exhausted with the online space. Girl, understandably so, as am I. That's why I ain't even been online for months and have been doing just fine without it. But I feel like what you're saying, though, is should I only be serving God's people, not necessarily growing my business, but should I only be serving God's people and connecting with them online, or should I do offline? And my answer to that will be cultivate in-person spaces. There is nothing like really being able to look people in their eyes when you're talking to them. There's nothing like being able to give somebody a hug when they need it. There's nothing like really being able to pray for somebody. There's nothing like being able to just sit down and have a meal with somebody and talk and enjoy each other's company as fellow believers. Like, there is nothing that can replace the gathering of the saints. And again, based off of even the first part of your question, and I'm just discerning this in my spirit that the Lord may be calling you to that, but you may be resisting that in a sense because of your foundation of starting online or because of the ease of online. There are so many other variables when we start doing things in person. Will people show up? How much is it going to cost? What do I charge, etc.? There's so many things as it relates to that. But again, I have to be obedient in saying I do think that you should follow the Lord's leading you offline. Online, you reach more people quicker and easier. That's definitely true. But I believe the quality of in-person connections just simply can't be beat. It just simply can't. So my advice to you would be do some offline things and just see. Use online as a guide. Let's say based off of your data, you have a significant audience in particular regions. Go to those regions and do pop-up events. And find ways to do those events to where they're a low cost for you, minimal cost to the people that are coming. But set up camp in those spaces. I saw great success with that with the tour. I chose the four major cities that the show was the most popular in, which was Dallas, Atlanta, DC area, and Chicago. And I went to all of those places and did the tour, and they were successful at every stop. And it was a transformative experience for those who came, but also for me. I genuinely enjoyed myself and to be able to connect with people in that way. And so, yeah, I do think online provides a level of access, immediate access and ease, but there's nothing more impactful, in my opinion, as it relates to especially ministry stuff, is being able to connect in person with somebody, because there's so much that you just can't get in an online space. There's only so much connection you can have digitally. But in person, you could see that when you talked about something that really brought this person to tears. So when you see them later, you could ask them about it to have an in-depth conversation. You could see how people are, you could see that they may be tense or shaking, or just some type of physical manifestation of what may be going on internally that you could pray for them and address. A lot of times the Holy Spirit will reveal things to you about people in person. You can discern a setting or a spirit that may be in a space and you can address it spiritually. There's just so much that happens in a physical gathering of the saints. And so I would admonish you to pursue that and then allow the online aspect to navigate where you go in person. And I feel like if you look at it that way, that'll free you from a lot of the extra noise online. And I feel like it'll add another layer of intention of what you're doing online as well, and a lot of another layer of fulfillment for you. And if you come to the DC area, let me know, because I would love to come and support whatever it is that you do. And I'm not just saying that, I mean that. Okay, so we are at like 50 minutes, y'all. And I want to answer more questions, but for the sake of time, I'm going to end things here. If you want to, I think I'm going to do a part two to this because I had some other really great questions. But if you have a Bible on business question as well, go ahead and send me an email, tatum@tatumtamia.com. My email will be in the show notes, and I will make sure that I do my best to answer as many as possible on the episode. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.